Hello, and welcome into episode 22 of Bourbon and Bad Opinions, where what we're drinking is better than what we're thinking. I'm Carrie, as always, joined by Rob.
Hello.
Sean.
What's up?
Chad.
Hello, good people.
And John.
Ahoy, ahoy.
Ahoy, ahoy.
He got his ahoy, ahoy in, people.
Ahoy, ahoy.
Aren't we happy?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's your new thing, right?
Until there's a new thing.
Yeah,
and then, one second.
I'm not a slave to trends.
Well, you're such a trendsetter. I mean,
that's, right.
you're a trendsetter.
I can't say that about myself because that's inappropriate.
Is it?
Yeah, I think
just like giving yourself a nickname. Yeah, you can't.
Oh, we talked about that. Yeah,
yeah
that's
yeah,
wrong.
You can't do
that's
that.
Wrong. You can't do that.
This is true. This is true.
Call me White Lightning, though. El Diablo.
That's fair.
El Diablo. What is it? The Magic Man in El Diablo.
Magic Man.
Right, yeah.
We'll talk about that. Hey, interesting little footnote before she gets going. So KSD just released some of their barrel picks this week. Their first two ever came out this week. It just actually yesterday. One of them actually was, isn't it? One of them's called Fight Me. And the other one is named. The other one is got a picture from Talladega Nights, where John C. Reilly is on the cover of Playgirl, and it's called Mike Honcho. Is that his name? Is that what his,
oh,
that his porn name was going to be?
I don't remember.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's pretty
remember.
Awesome.
Yeah, I missed that scene.
I think it's at the end, like you know, when they're doing some of the credits and like what happens to
them. It was a cut scene.
Yeah. Yes.
I need to go back and review that.
I've seen that. I saw that in theaters, but I don't remember that scene because now every time I watch it's just on TV and they don't have that like on the.
Yeah, they
the filth,
floor, and
filth.
Quick.
Right. They cut
Mike
it out.
My concho.
Anyway, well, what's KSD stand for?
Kentucky Supply and Demand. It was an offshoot of another local group that these folks felt had were putting too much pressure on the market and trying to make the market a little bit too artificial and, you know. Market caps, and then some shade was thrown between each side, and so they've split off, and it's become its own thing. It's actually quite fun.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
John is another proud member.
I follow the first rule of KSD, and that is you don't talk about KSD.
This is true.
So this
clearly, Chad.
So I don't even know what KSD is. I'm clear.
So this was beef, huh? People had beef.
They had beef. Static. It's like Bloods and Crips, but for bourbon.
Yeah.
This wasn't Montague's like we had younger,
the
though.
No. Yeah, I like that, the Romeo and Juliet.
The Sharks and the Jets.
Yeah. I like the Sharks and the Jets. That's right.
That's right.
A little Maria.
This wasn't no Northside beef back like in
no,
the day.
No, no.
Right, once cool. you're a Jet, you're a
this
Jet.
This more bougie beef.
You, sir, would know about bougie beef, right?
That sounds good, actually.
It does sound good. It's like Wagyu, but better.
Yeah. Well, and I tell you what, Chad, this group is how you got to do these barrel picks, right?
No, actually, I've not done one with KSD.
Oh, okay.
All my barrel picks been with other groups. But, yeah, I just did one recently with the biggest market out there, Bourbon Secondary Market.
I know. We're gonna get to that
In
a second.
Let's
talk about it. We will talk about it. Don't worry.
Coffee talk.
But first, we had to talk about what we're drinking today before we get to what we're thinking, I guess. Sean graciously has brought us two offerings. And then Chad came in out of nowhere
with a third.
So, Sean, what would you bring?
I brought two barrel picks. One is the Woodford Reserve Double Oak Barrel Finish Select. This is from Trader Joe's, Kentucky, the one here in Lexington. We have bottle 24 of 120 in front of us. And then I also have a Knob Creek Single Barrel Reserved small batch. It's 120 proof. And this was selected by Kroger Wine and Spirits, and as I affectionately call it, this is the less rich one that's right on Shinaway. The other one is right there on Euclid.
Nice.
And I had it in the store. I had both of these in the store, and that's what made me get them, but I just cracked them open today, so I'm anxious to see what you guys think.
Nice. Are you sure that Knob Creek's a small batch?
It says small batch on it.
What else does it say?
Aged 9 years.
What's it say in red?
Single barrel. I mentioned
that. This is marketing, right? I mean, there are no legal definitions by the, you know, tax bureau that small batch and single barrel. I mean, that's kind of my big rub with Knob Creek always has been, like, what exactly is it? I only know the ones that are small, that are single barrels are the ones you pick. The store picks are generally single barrels. They don't batch those. So that probably is.
They need to work on their labeling.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, I just read the label and he said, it's
a head scratcher for sure.
Well, so Chad, you brought us some lovely chicken cock, and we've had chicken cock in earlier episodes.
We did.
Yeah, I think it was different chicken cock.
It was. What's this one?
This is the Chicken Cock Bootlegger's Reserve. As you know, they started in Paris, Kentucky, 1856. It was highly smuggled during Prohibition and ended up in the Cotton Club. Is that it? Yeah.
Yeah, Cotton Club.
So this is just kind of their homage to bootlegging. It's a supposedly just a bourbon and rye blend. So it actually classifies as just a whiskey. But it's interesting.
Yeah, so and that's what we're drinking first. Yeah, before we move on to the Knob Creek and the Woodford, and I'm gonna tell you this, it's a little hot.
Oh yeah,
it's definitely
it mellows out.
Quick. Wow, it's got some sweetness on it.
Yeah, I know
it does. I noticed that. So yeah, we'll see.
It's 45 proof for those out there wondering.
And who
45%?
Yeah,
90% proof. We ain't drinking no 45 proof on here.
I would throw it out the window. If that's
drain
pour. That wouldn't even run your car. Would you believe that?
Having trouble reading tonight.
Although I bet it would still taste better than the Eye of Sauron.
Probably.
Everything tastes better.
So far, yeah, I can't say we have anything that's as bad as the Eye of Sauron. Yeah.
Not yet.
A pork chop served in a dirty ashtray might taste better, right?
I think so. I mean, it's possible. It's definitely possible.
John, thoughts?
I'm trying to think anything I've had worse than that. And honestly, I can't. I'm at a loss.
Yeah.
It's going to take a Herculean effort to knock that, thing from its pedestal.
We are waiting for that day, though.
Yes. Let's not give it a shot. Not, because I don't want to die.
So, Chad, the last show that we did, you had gone to Wild Turkey and done some barrel picking. And subsequently, you got to go again and do barrel picking.
Yeah, fun times. One of my friends is an admin. One of my good friends is admin on BSM, Bourbon Secondary Market. It's the largest. It is basically the only game in town, really, when it comes to bringing new whiskeys into the market for secondary or gray markets. So I think they're at 35,000 people.
Wow.
See so much daily activity. It's kind of insane. So they wanted to do their first couple picks, and they're trying to change their image. People love to shit on them because, haters going to hate.
Yeah.
But there's there's probably some legitimately beefs there, too. But they're going to do, I think they're trying to do these barrels, and I think they're going to be in some of them for charity. Like some of the, anything that would be profit would go directly to charity.
So how is this one different than the previous one that you did?
Well, everybody there was experienced. It's save for, I think they brought one other person along, one or two maybe, that hadn't done this before. But we went through a lot.
Than last time?
Oh, yeah, probably double.
Wow.
Then we got a nice little bougie private tasting in the old gift shop, which is like an old cool building that I think I vaguely remember going there as a kid, like when my parents would go there. So that was nice. It was just a fun day. It wasn't with Eddie. Eddie was apparently on his way to Australia. So it was with the heir apparent to the business, Bruce, who is Eddie's son. He'd be the third third of the Russell's family to take that over. He's already a distiller now. He's been in training, I guess, in Austin, and he's back. Well, he moves back officially on January 1. He'll take over that barrel pick program.
So was he working with McConaughey down in Austin and all that
stuff? No, they had him learning other aspects of the business, the trade and bartending and those kind of things.
Okay.
Like,
wow.
For beyond the social aspect too, and marketing and all that.
Okay.
As well.
So how did the bourbon differ this time around?
I think the first time there were some great picks. I mean, I loved them. This time, I think it was just the enormity of it that we went through. I got to the point, seriously, where my palate had blown out. I mean, you get over 10 and you're pushing it already. But we found, it was the first time ever that I've gone and it was unanimous. I mean, it was clear what the two winners were. Without even having to go back and revisit and say, "Are we sure? Are we sure?" It was.
That's kind of cool for a group that size.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it was a sizable group, but it was quite fun. The opinions there. When people talked about it, it was clear how much knowledge was actually on site that day.
So okay. the two that you all picked, were they more towards the beginning, or somewhere?
Probably about the middle.
About the middle.
Yeah, I liked one. We all liked one. Really, like one of the first barrels we tried. Maybe even the first one. And I'm not sure if that was one of the ones that got picked, but as we went on, we found one that was just so unique and different that it resonated with everybody. It was just holy moly.
Cool. Nice.
Then once again, true to form, the Russells let us dip into some of their secret stash of rye that they had down there. And it's sad that after doing all those Russell's Reserve bourbons, that for me, it wasn't even close. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I was drinking everybody else that didn't like rye. They had their pour, and they were getting ready to pour it out. I'm, collecting glasses and throwing it down.
We'll get some of that.
Yeah, they don't care about germs when there's rye in play.
Oh, sure,
right?
Absolutely. So now, was this in a different rick house than the one?
No, same one. I think they generally do them all there.
Oh, yeah. Do they? Yeah. Okay. Oh, interesting. Yes. Well, I'm still super jealous. I mean...
I cried.
Yeah.
Tears of envy.
Did you pee on a tree?
Yeah, oh, yeah, totally. Yeah,
okay. He had to.
It's tradition now.
Right, now. Yeah. It's a thing. Right?
I mean, then you're going to get a barren barrel if you don't.
I'll probably walk out on that railroad track that goes across the Kentucky River. Yeah. They got it all fenced off, but I'll go over and pee there, too.
So how many barrels did you guys taste?
Man, I want to say it was, I lost count. It's somewhere between 13 and 20.
Wow.
Yeah. I started off, and, you know, shame on me, because I didn't think we were going to go through that many, and I was keeping mental notes, like, you know, like number four, number seven, or whatever.
Didn't write anything down.
But I'm glad that we all kind of remember that these were the two we liked, because some people were keeping notes on the phone. One guy was the actual rep, the rep for, like, Southern or whoever distributes them was there. He was on the pick, too, and he was taking copious notes, and he kind of kept us in line with, you know, what people had said, but, yeah.
Well, I tell you what's
experience.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, Wild Turkey is down there where there's a lot of other distilleries down there, you know, around in that area. It's kind of like what the distillery district.
Yeah, that whole Lawrenceburg.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah, that whole area.
It's just nice. Yeah.
Which kind of brings me to this article that I saw that can't talk. Thanks, chicken cock. the distillers.
That's what she said.
The distillers are going to court over this black gunk problem. That is going on in with residential people who live near and around the distilleries that don't have anything to do with the distillery, but I guess it's just in the process of making bourbon, this black mold gunk, I don't know, it's mold, is created, and it coats everything.
Yeah, I haven't seen, I read the article, I haven't seen it particularly in that area, but I have been to other distilleries a little south of here, down in Tennessee. That everything was just coated in black as far as the eye could see. It was the buildings, it's the trees, it's the rocks. It looks like a black moss for no better term.
It's natural. It's wherever there's ethanol, this mold grows, because it's all through Scotland and Ireland and every distillery there. My whole thing is, you buy next to a distillery, you get what you pay for. I mean, I don't want to really like growing all the way in the front of my house, but on the back of it, it's going to be there. It's kind of like when you move into a neighborhood where there are a lot of students who live, you're going to get you're going to get some things, and you have to accept it. So, you know, I remember reading the article, and I understand him talking about some of the air scrubbers and all that kind of stuff. Who knows? But
But what can they do? I mean, you can take them to court and you can sue them, but ultimately, what are the residents going to get out of it?
I mean, it's checked by the EPA. I mean, they look at the stuff. I mean, you go to all the distilleries around here; it's all over the trees on the side of the building, like Rob said.
Yeah,
you know, from what I understand, it's mostly harmless. Again,
I also look at it as, you know, every summer you have to kind of spray down your siding because it gets the green mold and other things. So, I mean, it's the cost of doing business.
But see, I think what you could do is you could sue them. They clean it off. Like, I would not be happy if that was grown on my house. If I let's say you had this house for 40 years or whatever, it seems to have gotten worse. Whatever, I don't know. I would not be happy. There is an extreme bitterness towards some of these people about it because maybe I realize I bought in the area, but this is like neighborhoods away. It seems to be a growing problem because it's feeding on the ethanol vapors and that kind of stuff.
And probably more production.
And I could see, as people get older, if you have breathing issues and that kind of stuff, maybe it doesn't cause problems. Maybe it does. I don't know. I'd be pissed.
Yeah. Here's my thing about it. You know, we all know where the distilleries are. There are no houses around them for years and years and years. And I think most of these are new neighborhoods that have been built up that people have developed. I'm all about making the monies. But you live next to a distillery, you got to expect some stuff.
That was kind of my question, and I don't recall the article saying that. Are these new neighborhoods, or just because of the growth of Kentucky in general.
That to me is the most salient point, right? Yeah. Because even in the context of Wild Turkey, to Sean's, you know, the contrarian view for Sean on that is, like, think about where Wild Turkey is. Wild Turkey is really not in Lawrenceburg, but, you know, that's another fallacy. It's actually in Tyrone, which is right there along the river. And the Tyrone brothers, when they came over from Ireland, Scotland, wherever they came from, and they started, you know, doing their Bond and Lillard and all those other things they used to do back there, that's where they had to live. They had to live kind of on property. So those things are kind of like these small little enclaves. Is that where the issue's coming from? Or is it because it's blown so far into new bougie houses?
I think that's the issue. I think the blowing into bougie new houses is the issue.
Because I would think those people kind of take pride in that's what it is. This is our homes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But it's an environmental factor. I mean, it's like the green mold we get on the sides of our house here in Lextown.
And that's what Rob was saying.
Yeah, it's like what Rob's saying.
North side of the house only, though, right?
Right.
And the pollen on the cars and all that. I mean, you know, it's...
It's a product of living in the state of Kentucky. I mean, it honestly
is. Well, in this instance, it's not, because it's, like Sean said, it was in Ireland. It's in Tennessee.
Right.
It's a product of being close to a distillery. But in fairness, there's not a lot of houses around most distilleries when you drive through, so right. This has got to be new development.
Well, and I kind of agree with John on that. I mean, I think what they can get out of it is say, okay, the distilleries have to pay for cleaning our house once a year or something like that.
Distilleries will probably do that. I think that's a small price for them to pay.
Right.
It's like,
oh,
just
sure,
hire
absolutely.
A contractor and do the whole neighborhood right. every spring and be done with
it. Yeah, I think that's fair.
Okay, yeah, all right. Well, I wanted to bring that up because I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, no,
definitely. And it was something that I did not know was a problem.
Well, it's interesting you bring it up, and it's got to the point where I've got bourbon tour fatigue. That's because it's really, if you've been to one, you hear the same thing.
Yeah,
exactly.
But every single one I've ever been on, somebody asked that question. Like,
really?
What is that stuff? Why is there a black stuff? Because not everybody lives here, and you're always on a tour with them. And it's an interesting thing because you're not used to seeing it. Like, why are some of these buildings like covered and it looks like soot?
Well, right? And people totally freak out over black mold. So, you know, I'm sure that people are like, oh, my God, if you tell me this is black mold, I'm going to freak out and run away screaming.
Yeah, it's not Aspergillus or, Tachybotrys or any of that
like
stuff, right?
99%, because I looked this up.
You blinded me with science, right? Chadwick.
When we bought our house, and I had to look it up, and it was like, you know, there's this fear, but then there's the reality of most of it's not going to kill you. It's just there, and there's a certain strains of it, so.
Exactly, yes, until it mutates.
Until it mutates.
And kills us all.
Right.
Zombies,
the zombie apocalypse. And that's where the zombie apocalypse started, kids.
Until
the end. Okay. Well, I tell you what.
Boo-boo.
Oh, God. Get out of my house. Just get out. Just
come
out.
That's
be gone.
Every time.
Okay. So, you know, we talked about actually getting packages to the house last episode, right?
Yeah.
And you know, it's always fun to get a package to the house. And you know, what's become popular now is these unboxing videos, right? Where people like Rob, you're probably familiar with this.
I am. I get a Funko subscription, although it just got canceled. Apparently, they're no longer doing the Smuggler's Bounty. Boo Funko, if you're out there. And I used to watch some of the videos because people would get them before me, and I didn't mind. I wanted to know what was in my box, you know.
So you didn't have to unbox it. So you know, you can watch the video and people unpacking toys. And
I've never did my unboxing video
and all kinds of stuff. And then they show you what's in the box.
What's in
and
the box.
Yeah.
But now
that's right.
This new, I guess, kind of phenomenon thing that's going on that I don't know. I don't know if I believe it. This is
the first.
I believe it.
Oh, I'm on board.
Yeah, okay, so apparently you can do this thing. And you can go on the dark web at your own risk. I do not endorse this at all unless you want like viruses and whatever else
and the
FBI knocking on your door. But if you're so inclined, you could go on the dark web and you could buy a mystery box from the dark web. And people are getting these things delivered to their house, which I think is just not a good idea because you're dealing with the dark web.
Yeah.
And they are unboxing them through these videos. Now, God, they have claimed that they've gotten like bloody axes, bloody clothes, needles, drug paraphernalia. What else has been in these things?
Body parts.
Ketamine. Yeah. A hand. When
the first time I read this story, it went back to the seven, and I kept thinking about the head in the box.
What's in the box?
That's right.
What's in the box?
And, you know, to me, it's kind of like a ghost story. It's got to be fun. It's like, man, I ordered this box. What's going to be in it? Is it a hand? Is it a pound of Coke? Whatever. And who knows? It's exciting.
The worst thing it could be. I mean, the worst possible thing it could be would be glitter. I mean,
that's true.
Hell.
That's right.
I think you're right about that. So people pay for this?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I don't understand
Bitcoin, yeah.
Well, I don't understand that because you can get used needles anywhere in like most parking lots in businesses around here. So I also, like for the video, I'm not surprised. It's self-important, egocentric people that think that we care, because I don't, about what they're doing in their day, and I don't. It's the same people that Snapchat all this crap, and they're driving and snapping, and they's doing this, and Insta this, and Insta that. Nobody cares. You got three people following you, and two of them were videoing something else while you was videoing this. Nobody cares.
But see, I guess, in terms of, like, me not believing it necessarily is, like, really bloody clothes.
Yeah, no, that part I get. I think... again, that just kind of, to me, adds to the mystique, the ghost story side of it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of fun there. I mean, yeah. Like I got OJ's knife in the mail.
That's right. Or, yeah, I mean, who doesn't want to buy into this?
Well, and see, I wouldn't want to take the chance on somebody who mm-hmm. you know, is on the dark web knowing where I live.
Send it to your neighbor's house.
The people on the dark web already know where you live. This is true. I mean, everybody knows where everybody lives.
Okay, and then my other point is, what would happen if you got something like, truly, and I'm not talking drugs, and I mean, you know where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
Like, truly, possibly the worst thing that you could get that's glitter.
True. Yeah.
Then
but,
I'm probably calling the police.
See, I...
But why? It's anonymous. I mean, you would not know where
it came from. They don't know
where
it came from. They can't track it.
I mean, but then you have it.
But I don't... That's the thing.
You guys are all big book people. I tell you, if you ever get a chance to read anything, one of the most interesting story is about Dread Pirate Roberts in the Silk Bay on the dark.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I mean, it's such a seedy thing, but you're right. I mean, there could be some really bad. I guess I'll retract my former statement. I thought it would be funny and fun, but yeah. There's some stuff I don't want coming to my house or even my neighbor's house, right? Yeah.
And I still feel like it's just something fun to do. I mean, it could turn, as things often do, into something that's just horrible. But, you know, it was very alluring to be like, I wonder what I'd get in the mail from the dark web.
Get a snuff film.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, come on. Yeah. I mean, serious, you know, send me an automatic weapon. I'm all about that on the dark web. But something else, I don't want.
Well, I can tell you, there's a movie in this. There's got to be.
Oh, absolutely.
There's
got
to
be
some kind of horror movie. It's like a sequel to 8mm or something.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I haven't thought about that movie in years.
Machine. Yeah.
But I thought it was interesting that's where we've gone with these unboxing videos. Yeah, we have to, you know, because you can't just be entertained by unboxing a Star Wars figure. Now we've got to go down this whole dark web.
See, that's where you're wrong. I can still be entertained by that. But
or do what I do. Just drink a lot and order stuff from eBay and Amazon, and it's an unboxing because I never know what I'm getting.
That's right.
And we know how that works out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With your
this brings me to my next story, is the fact that I wonder if these idiots who stole $98,000 worth of ramen noodles is that going to be a dark web thing? I mean, is that where they're selling them?
No. Right. Just sit outside any college campus and make your money back.
Apparently, if you hadn't heard this story, apparently it was in Georgia. Fayette County, Georgia, actually, which I thought was kind of funny. Mm-hmm. And so I think it was two people basically took a truck that had $98,000 worth of ramen in it. And I guess the guy, I read more into the story, because the story that I read was just a little blurb at mm-hmm. first, and then I read more into it, and I guess this guy had left the semi parked in some kind of parking lot or something, because he had another job. And it stayed there for 2 weeks, and then somebody stole it.
That's
so I'm no mathematicist, but... When they're going for a buck for a ramen at $98,000,
there's got to be a lot of ramen.
That is a lot of ramen.
You're flooding the market with that ramen.
Well, that's a definite flea market markup, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it is.
Right.
But
you know, it makes me wonder, though, if they even knew what was in the truck.
Yes, because he left it there for 2 weeks. You're not going to leave, no matter what job you had, if you drive a truck for a living, you're not going to let it sit for 2 weeks. Mm. Because you got to get
that's reasonable.
For your offload and all that kind of stuff. So I smell some people
inside
in
job.
Crime families who might have asked for this.
I could see that, but Chad's saying, I mean, I know it's 98K in ramen, but it's 98K in ramen.
Yeah. A true confession, if Jen ever listens to these things, which we know she does, all of them, she still loves ramen.
I like ramen.
I love ramen too.
Nobody's,
I don't. I think it's just like a total salt bomb.
But she don't eat that pack, right?
See, I don't eat that.
She likes those. Oh, or the cups, mm-hmm. either one.
I don't put the packet on it.
Yeah. See, that was my immediate thing.
Oh, so just the noodles?
Yeah.
Like
the noodles and you spice it yourself.
Yeah, and you spice it yourself.
And you get on the internet, and there's ways to make it like Japanese ramen. You put the egg in it and cook it with some ham. It's really, no, don't look at me like that,
dude. I'm not poor. I'm not going to eat ramen now, right?
Not either, but don't
suffer through that.
Right there.
I'm going to be bougie like Rob tonight.
There you go. My thing is just look for the guy that's got hypertension and diabetes, because that's going to happen with all that ramen.
You're going to find your suspects on a kidney transplant list.
Yeah.
But seriously, where in the world? It's like the shark, okay? Well, where are you going to fence a shark? Where the hell are you going to fence 98,000?
Well, like you said it earlier, it's like a flea market.
Flea market.
Can you imagine
flea
market?
But or, it's 90,000 and you didn't invest anything. Sit outside a college campus and you will sell lots.
Yeah,
of
but
that.
You could also know people that have convenience stores. I mean, there's all sorts of things. Or you could just you could Craigslist it. I mean, you can sell anything on the, or you get it in a dark web box.
Dark web box.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
I keep looking for this rare stuff and I keep getting this fucking ramen sent to me. Right,
a case of ramen from the dark web. I would cry.
See, and I paid like a whole Bitcoin.
I know.
Well, that ain't worth much now. Did y'all see that where the bomb's falling out of that Bitcoin market?
Yeah, shocking.
but I could see the convenience store angle where, you know, but
it's like
again,
the formula or whatever people take. There's a market for anything.
I guess I just don't see the value in it.
There's an intrinsic value in it. I don't believe that it was a setup. Well, I would not be surprised if somebody was just a joyrider, saw this, someone's like, let's go do whatever. But then again, I could see there are allegedly organized crime entities that deal in all kinds of things you probably wouldn't think about.
I mean,
they're regular staples that there's a defined market for. You sell it to mom and pop places.
Oh,
you sell it to whatever.
Diapers.
It's, that's why when you go into any mass merchandiser, the powdered infant formula is on those little turn things, so you can't come in and sweep the place. There's an intrinsic value for that. And it's
say
not
that again.
Expensive.
What happened now? So it's
so like dry infant formula.
Right.
If you go into the aisles, they have a little plastic turn thing so that you can get one unit at a time. You can't get like six of them. It takes you a while to do it because in many cases people would steal them. Yeah. But also most places, like if you run a small convenience store, that kind of thing, sometimes you use a mass merchandiser to supply stock shelves. Mm-hmm. So it cuts down a lot of that. But
yeah, there's been a lot of the formula, a lot of in the past and probably still goes on today, people buying it, changing the dates because it's so expensive. It's it's good money to do with the formulas.
Well, yeah, people shipping it overseas. And
Yeah, the three Lexingtonians remember that one. That was a East End thing at one of the grocery stores. They were buying the, well, don't say that name.
They bought
expired baby formula and then sold it.
But
so
as John said, there's a market for everything. You might be getting a quarter a pack on the ramen where it might be selling for a dollar, but it's still a quarter a pack and you didn't do anything.
Well, this
except steal a truck.
That's a good point.
You got a truck and you got ramen. That's a good deal.
Okay.
I think you got to burn the truck.
I think y'all just sell the truck. The hell with selling all that ramen. That's all
right. Probably right. As someone that owns a semi, they're not worth as much as you think they are.
I see that thing driving around. Says, you know, I got my truck for zero down with good credit, right?
And ramen.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, they may have been in cahoots with this dude up in Yorktown, New York. At this bingo hall, man, this is just this was amazing when I read this story. It's him and these Brahmin guys have got to be running the same circles. So this 71-year-old man was arrested for fixing bingo games, and he was charged with gaming fraud. So now I will say I read the article, I saw the sign, and I think that they were offering $2,500 worth of of prize money or something for this bingo game or whatever. It's at this community center up there. But this guy was charged with gaming fraud. No. Who fixes a bingo game?
He called a felony case.
Yep, he did.
I mean, seriously. Yeah. That's like a federal felony case if they decide to go too hard on it. So,
have you all ever been to a bingo hall?
Yes, I have.
So you know the amount of money that moves through, especially with those pull tab things and the cards. Mm. So to say that people wouldn't fix that, you're probably going to fix a little league baseball game to make cash. So there's a lot of money in bingo.
Oh, absolutely. That's allegedly organized crime. Anything that people do like that, there's money in it. You just got to want to.
Is there the bingo hall still here in Lexington?
Yeah.
Because I actually worked over there when you could still smoke in there.
Oh, I bet it was terrible.
It was awful.
It was incredible.
But the dude's, I guess, the dude's 71 years old. Yeah. I mean, you know what?
He's probably an old pensioner or something. You know, income.
I disagree. I bet he's been fixing bingo for 30 years. I bet this is his shtick. This is his game, and he's making it work.
Do you know what this reminds me of? I don't know if we shared this on the group chat about the guy who was fixing the McDonald's games. Did you guys see that?
McDonald's Monopoly.
It's the same kind of thing. Somebody approached him, probably small time, and said, hey, fix this for us, and here's your cut.
Yeah. But see now, okay, so I may have read more of that article than I admit to.
The Monopoly thing?
That Monopoly article was deep. It was. It was intriguing.
But
so.
The thing about that is, the dude got bored with work. Like, he was the person, he was the one company that printed all these things.
Yeah.
And he and his staff decided what city's going to win. Mm-hmm. So then he'd ship it secret over, somebody put it in, blah, 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 this magic cup. And at some point, he's like, why am I giving this to all these people?
Right.
So he starts sending it so people that he knew got it, and there was a kickback and that kind of thing. I think that's what happens. People get bored at work. This dude got bored. 10 years into bingo going bingo, going, what the hell am I doing? These people won $25 tonight. Where's my cut? And he starts. It's a slippery slope. You start, well, I wonder if I can get away with this. Well, now that I can get away with this, can I keep doing it? And then there's a point, well, you owe me this much. So...
Yeah.
I think that's how it starts. Not that I'm guilty. I'm just saying.
No, I think
that's fair. My opinion
is
it might start in a fashion like that, and then it snowballs until you get out of hand, and then
right. I think some people get addicted to it, to the thrill, of the rush,
to the thrill of it,
because
they
didn't get caught. Right. Yeah, exactly.
You know, or they're just put in financial situations that you know they make these decisions. Like there was another article. Can't remember. Where, I think it might have been in Michigan. There was a lady who was kept embezzling. This is her third time embezzling.
What?
She keeps getting jobs, and finally she's like, I just need to get a certificate to be a forklift driver because I can't be around money because it's just so enticing to embezzle.
She'll start stealing forklifts, right?
Yeah, probably. But
that's more profitable. I can tell you that right now.
But yeah. So I think that's what it's just a thrill, or you are put in a situation where you have to where. You know, I mean, that at this table, that's not what's going on.
Oh,
for
what
any
about
of us.
Just you suffer from kleptomania? Do you just like to steal stuff?
I mean,
for
I guess,
whatever
yeah.
reason.
I knew one of those people. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it exists.
Steal your blue jeans from you. It's like the weirdest thing.
Come in and you'd have no ramen in your head. <Yeah. laughs>
No ramen and no bingo cards.
That's right.
But yeah, I was just like, man, 71 years old, fixing bingo games at a community center up there in New York.
I hope to be living that life at 71, right?
I mean, what's the downside? You're 71.
Well, these grifters of all ages.
That's right.
This is true. Well, you know what? He could have gone and gotten him a job filling up people's cars with gas. And
that's
I don't
true.
Mean as a gas station attendant, because this is just, oh my God, I couldn't believe when I saw this story. So apparently, there is this company called Yoshi, and it's basically Uber for gas. And it's a mobile.
Wait a minute, is Mario doing this?
I was gonna say.
Yeah, right? It's a mobile gas station type of thing. So these people, they have their little pickup trucks with the gas cans. I think they have pumps. I saw pictures in that.
Oh, yeah.
Thing.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Right. And they come. And so you sign up for this subscription service that's $20 a month plus the cost of gas. And then they will come to your parking lot at your work or whatever and fill you up with gas because you can't take 5 minutes out of your super busy day to stop at a gas station.
Hold on. I wanted to be out of this, but as someone who likes to drive their car all the way down to empty and then see if I can get to my place of employment with that last little bit, this service might actually be for me.
But you know, there are people out there, and it's not, you know, what city was this in? Or was this a national thing?
No, it's in a couple of cities. I think it's in California.
Silicon Valley, for sure.
Yeah.
They're all startups.
Well, I remember just last year, one of the local radios, because if you don't have like Sirius or any of that stuff, you got to be like me, listen to like regular terrestrial radio. And one of the topics one morning was call in and tell us, admit something to us that you don't like to tell people. And one lady called in, I think she was 24. And that she said that she had never in her life pumped gas, and that she, growing up, her dad would always do it for her, and now that she got married, her husband does it for her. She says she didn't even know how to even make that work. I'm just like, which blows my mind. So I guess there is a market.
And I bet there's a lot of people like that.
But that's not as unusual as you think, because there are people who, for whatever gender roles or whatever, I'm sorry I used that phrase on this show, but people always assume that the male would do that, so... I can understand it more than you not wanting to do it because you are too busy.
That's the thing. That's what this whole the whole article focused on, was the fact that it wasn't that they didn't know how to do it or that they just didn't want to do it, or that they were just, their lives were just so busy they just didn't have time.
Well, John?
Well, I mean, if you look at the sheer number of people who don't know how, there's a lot of people, like people in New York who don't need a car. There's no point.
It's
so
true.
Why would they know anything that you have to do about that? There are people that... the Amish are a significant group of population. They don't need that either. But I don't see what the big deal is. If I'm willing to pay for it and I don't want to do it, somebody comes and takes care of it.
Yeah,
I'm not
throwing stones at
it. I would do the same thing if I were... I've known people who, like,
there's a car wash business. They'll come pick your car up while you're work, wash it, detail it, all that, bring it, drop it off before your time to go home. What's wrong with that? If I don't want to do it, I don't want to stand on, I don't feel like I have time to do it. I don't like doing it. It's my money. I do what I want.
Yeah, I came in thinking that I was just going to bust on this. And you know, no, I'm not. Because like the Click List or the Walmart. Yeah. And then like John said, although I hand wash my car. But I mean, you know.
Of course you do.
Of course I do. Because I have to.
Rub it with a diaper. 100%
cotton diaper.
No, not cotton.
Chamois cloth.
What chamois do you prefer? What are the premium chamois today?
But at that point, I mean, I know a lot of people that do, and that's. But the other parts, I could see.
Well, Sean and I are of the same opinion.
We are of the same opinion on this. I'm going back to my misbegotten youth or some of it. That was like the freedom. I can go buy my own gas and pump it, and that was one of those things you wanted to do.
Wow.
Okay,
we got to work on your youth.
That was cool when it was 94 cents a gallon.
Yes, it that's was. True.
That's now true. You just stand out there and think, could this thing seriously? There's a point at which I'm going to pay for 10 gallons of gas and it'll be $100.
Right.
There's time. It's coming.
Well, at that point, I'm making biodiesel in my backyard.
Yeah,
or something.
I'm gonna have to sell my car.
I'll be the swing vote here. Yeah, I clearly can't throw shade at this because most people, there's like Mark, Rob said, there's a market out there. Even like ClickList, when they first started doing that, I was like, oh, that's really interesting. I'm not going to do it.
Well, like the
People, if you roll into a Kroger, they are just lining up. Wait,
and there's a place in town that'll bring you booze to your house.
Yeah, Hops to Go, baby.
Liquor Shout Barn out. Also. Plug. Liquor Barn delivers too. Shout out. We need a sponsorship, Liquor Barn.
Hops to Go be a good
Uber Eats. And that's the thing, though. That's the thing. You never have to leave your house. You never have to physically interact with human beings. You really don't.
So what's wrong with this?
It's
scary.
It's going to be the downfall of society.
We hated humans.
They're the worst. People are the worst.
But you know what? These same people who are using this gas subscription service are the same people who are getting duped by these outlet stickers at airports.
Oh,
that might be true.
That's love.
First of all, those are quite realistic. I could see somebody think. Now, I did see one on the bottom of a trash can. Sensibility should at some point make some sense to you. Mm-hmm. But I they're very realistic. I think that is near perfect troll level in my world.
Yeah.
I scrolled through that a couple of times and I loudly laughed. It was hilarious.
Like John, I looked at it and I thought, especially at an airport or something like this, I could totally fall prey to that because they were so realistic looking.
Yeah, I just love the rage. I mean, I love the rage of the people. You know, then on the flip side though, it's funny the people who are just like, all right, you're like troll level god for this, right? These videos have been going on for a long time. I'm surprised that this just became like a thing to make an article about it because
I know
those videos have been on YouTube for a while and they're hilarious. The anger of people, especially it's all the hipsters with their little MacBook minis, they're trying to are charging their phone and they're on the go. They're so busy or they're getting ready to get on a subway or something and they're just. And they're just like totally about to rage quit the world. It's so beautiful to watch.
Oh, from your mouth to God's ears.
Yeah. Please do. I'm going to do this at my place of work.
I was going to say.
Oh, for sure you should.
I would totally buy a pack of them.
I think when you start
10 packs on Amazon.
When you start talking about it, I'm like, this was Barton up my year. So, yes, I'm going to do
this. They've got two kinds now. They've got ones that are just traditional outlets, but you need to get the ones that are two traditional outlets
USB. USB.
Yes.
Because that's what everybody's looking for. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, yeah.
Here's the question now, though. When are these things going to become, you're not allowed to buy these anymore?
I don't think.
Never.
Yeah, that's that.
It's
I don't see that.
They're going to be banned.
The best thing about it, it reminds me of that thrill that I got as a young 13-year-old asshole going to Spencer's Gift in the mall.
Oh, yeah.
It's like looking for whoopee cushions or the shock buzzer.
Sneak bombs, whatever it is. Yeah.
Fake crab.
Yeah, totally. This is it for adults.
The
just
fart spray. I totally remember the fart spray.
Stink bombs were the worst. No, little
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Chad, you remember the deer must day at Bryan Station?
The what?
The deer musk. I don't know if you were there the year musk got loose in Bryan Station. It was incredible.
We had
bought bottles of it soon after.
Yeah, we had stink bombs.
Well, and it's just so fun because it really is a harmless troll thing. You know, there's troll stuff out there.
Yeah, I would laugh. Yeah. I mean, I would totally if this was me and I was trying to plug in my thing, I would just be like, idiot.
It's totally G level fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
But here's the thing. Don't go around sticking your USB in some strange places because
the first of the semester word of the day.
Yes.
That is knowledge that should be every freshman.
Yeah.
Don't go sticking your USB in something.
I think that's fair.
Well, because what those like
viruses and all that, you know, they can deliver them. They've had them in
really.
Oh yeah, some airports
from
in
charging
Europe.
Stations.
Oh, I thought we were talking about different USB ports.
Huh, I did not know that. That is an interesting fact.
Don't stick your dongle in the USB port.
There you go. But no, I love those things. They're brilliant. I think they're brilliant.
Yeah, and the ones I sent you all in the group chat, they've got the ones like, you know, speak to activate. Like you put that, those
I'm
great.
Getting those too.
Yeah.
I'm getting those. Too.
Like on,
oh,
like on,
yeah,
on a
yeah.
Keurig or something.
The Keurig
like
one
that.
Was brilliant. They
see,
had
make coffee. Start
I don't
coffee.
Know. I don't see that one. I would probably go.
Dude, people will do it.
No, I know, but I would question that. But a wall one, I could see me totally buying it.
But
too.
you could spend hours at like a high end hotel.
Yes.
Where you think, oh, this is really cool. And some moron's going to be standing there for 20 minutes. And then imagine the rage. I may or may not have been. In a position where I could see this happening to me, where you walk up to somebody that works there, what is wrong with this Keurig? It will not work. I can see it.
Totally.
I can see
man,
it.
I've been talking to it for 20 minutes and it won't make my coffee. Ma'am, do you see the pocket square?
But to really enjoy this.
Wow.
This
wow.
is to really enjoy it though, you know. Wow. Unlike the immediate gratification you got from like the little pocket flower that would squirt.
Right, yeah. Right.
This, I mean, you have to be there and be able to record it or right. watch people. Or you got to spend some time.
No, in my
you don't
world,
want to see it? Because
no,
that's to me,
no,
that's
no.
the point.
I
want to
see
it.
It is, but in my world, I want to watch the meltdown when they come in. And that's when
if
they
you do them
that.
At your place, you got to put it in a place where you can see, right? You just got to, you can just.
I want them to show up later and watch the meltdown because that gives me more enjoyment because I am a sadist. But
the joke is lost if you can't see it.
No.
See,
I disagree.
You just feel like you get to be smug and walk around knowing you've done this?
When I go to bed at night, I think, oh,
yeah, okay.
The havoc I have wreaked on this world.
All right, that's fair.
John just wants to watch the world burn.
Absolutely.
I think we all do.
You know what apparently also wants to watch the world burn is these bird scooters.
Hmm.
Have you all seen these things?
Well, I've read several stories in San Francisco. I know from the story, Louisville's getting them.
They have a poop patrol there now.
Right?
Nashville had them, and then they got rid of them.
And it's we've just recently got bikes again. These seem to actually be working a little better than the yellow bikes that ended up just like totally disassembled in people's yards.
Well, these bird scooters. Okay, so you want to talk about a troll? I think these bird scooters are a slight troll too, because there's all the places that have had them and then have banned them. Like I said, Nashville had them and banned them. All these kinds of complaints about the fact that people ride them on the sidewalks, people run over people with them. Right? You're supposed to wear a helmet, but whatever. Who's regulating that? And they end up all over the place, thrown all over the place, and then you know this. Bird patrol, whatever, comes out and picks them up at nighttime and fixes them and recharges them, whatever. But Lexington, the city council recently said that, nope, not going to happen.
And the same thing we've talked about before with the bikes. Lexington's downtown, to me, is not big enough to have something of this nature because you can walk from one end of downtown to the other in less than 20 minutes.
Rob, we live in the next great American city. Have you not seen this? I mean, come on. This is...
Chad.
Where is your sense of pride,
go
sir?
Home. Chad, go home.
I love Lexington, and I don't disagree with that, but I still know I can walk 20 minutes to get across.
Right. So, Chad, have you seen Blue?
Yes. The city of Lexington, Blue the horse. Yeah.
It's Big Lex, people.
It's Big Lex.
It is Big Lex.
We don't need to hear what you do in your spare time.
The bottom line is, I think I would use one of these just for fun, like for a little while, but I don't know.
Bunny.
So what's going to happen when you take, because there's one in the park near our home. So what happens when you take that, you go to your place, wherever you live, whatever, and then Debo comes up, takes it from you, and goes wherever else. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, this is my only form of conveyance.
You got beat down his driveway.
I was going to take my
grandmama gave me that chain.
Yeah. Like, there's going to be fist fights over these friggin' free bikes.
But no, scooters. It's the scooters I'm talking about.
Well, back to, have you watched some of the videos on
there? Yeah.
People like traffic. People, first of all, I've enjoyed a couple of them where they like throw them over cliffs. I like the ones where they hold them in sand and it just kind of spins and spits sand. That's cool. But the problem to me is they're too light. Like you could easily toss them. You could easily throw them.
And that's,
I can see there are a couple of videos where cars, like, because they slow down traffic and stuff, they see them and they rage and they mow over them. And that would probably be.
Well, how would we feel if we brought back penny farthings?
Oh, right? What's that? I don't remember what penny farthing.
That's the thing that, like, the bike with the gigantic front wheel.
Oh, yeah. Let's do that.
That would be entertaining.
You know?
And look, because I've looked at the bird scooter in interest of in research, and in places like DC, they're really popular because parking's horrible. It's just here we don't need that.
Well, and the other thing is now there's videos of people who are, you know, setting them on fire, throwing them over cliffs, trying to get rid of them and raging against them,
well,
you know.
Rage is correct. Rage is correct. Both the people who use them and the people who don't. It's part of its destruction of public property. To me, it's one of those things
sir.
Where it's
no,
that's private property.
That's private property.
They're
owned by the companies.
But people see it as public property.
That's true.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I mean,
wow. The gauntlet has been thrown down, sir.
I know.
We all see it as.
Forsooth.
I paid my taxes. I'm going to use this damn scooter. It's my business what I'm doing next.
That's fair.
Well, it doesn't matter because Lexington is not getting them anytime soon, so.
Doesn't need them.
I'm glad. I'm glad.
Doesn't need them.
Yeah.
What I would like to see one go down. What 10? I think they average 15 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Flying down Man of War at 15 miles an hour with a bunch of cars honking at them.
Nah, you'd be on the sidewalk. I mean,
bunny hop up on the median and
They're fun. They're toys.
Yeah.
Well, the sidewalks are damn bad in this town. You couldn't ride on them either.
Well, this is true, but we're not gonna,
allegedly.
We're not going to go there.
So your responsibility.
Next great American city, John.
Hey. Okay. So.
Call me the next life.
So we have to revisit a topic from last time's show, and you know we talked about Rick Pitino's coming out with his book, right? So now in addition to the book, I guess in conjunction with the book, if you will, he is finally going to have a Twitter account and a podcast.
Go Rick.
As right he should.
For me, I don't know who's actually going to follow him at this point, but he'll get millions. But I mean, I don't know. I think he will.
I'm sorry.
I think he will.
He will buy subscription, right? Get like go and buy the can where you immediately get 100 grand of followers. You
know, there are enough thirsty UK fans that will follow him that he'll get millions.
You're right. There are enough UK fans who follow him just to troll him day in and day out.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's...
I would follow him. I will follow him. First of all, I find it hilarious that he's so old and out of touch that he has to tell people he's going to have a Twitter. So... It takes 5 seconds. Just do it, son. Okay? Just do it.
That's what she said.
15 seconds.
To me, like, that's the whole thing. Is first, don't tell people you're going to do it. Just do it. So the second thing is this podcast. I don't know that Rick knows what a podcast is. Although, in fairness, most of his... throughout his career, most of his press conferences have been podcasts. Because he just gets up and goes on a diatribe about not much.
True.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that each day he'll have an update on, I can't believe I'm doing this podcast on the day insert name here died, because that's become his go-to. And then he'll sign off with, well, so-and-so, insert name here, is not walking through that door. So, I mean, these are some of his better lines.
I do like the walking through the door line.
But the thing of it is, he's come out and said that this podcast is going to be kind of around, he's going to do commentary on... Chad refused to let bourbon that just spilled on his shirt go. So
he's just kind of, you know.
Yeah. Mama didn't raise no quitter.
That's right.
That's right.
But
that's
he's going to commentate on games during the season.
That's the best part of it. Rick says he is going to grace us with his commentary throughout the season on modern college basketball. I would like to have a show of hands briefly. Who thinks he's going to stick to that?
Oh, no.
That's what I thought. Yeah. He's going to get on there. The NCAA has wronged me in the following ways. In the next 45 minutes, because he can't keep his mouth shut, he's put the University of Louisville, of which I am no fan, he's put them in a position where they have to now air the dirty laundry of what they let him do and basically say our coach cheated in the following ways to defend a lawsuit against Rick for this money.
So, and I got a legitimate question on this. Do you think that no media outlet will hire him? So now this is what he has to do?
No, because
ESPN might go, whoa, we got to step away from him for a year or two.
But
so
Fox
this is how
Sports
he keeps his name
it. Somebody will hire him.
Now,
but legitimate.
Yeah.
My information, first of all, everybody knows my feelings about Rick. There is no way that they would not hire him. Now, maybe I don't want to put him on TV because that's a little harsh. But
it's like the Crypt Keeper.
It's the undead, baby.
Some of that's a little harsh. But with the right lighting and a good, strong mortician, I think he could be visible.
The right level of embalming and the right amount of guy liner.
They need to get whoever did linen.
Basketball mind,
okay.
There's no way that man could not clean up, because I think he would be an excellent commentator.
No,
back when I thought he was still alive, I would have really enjoyed had he done that to the end of his career.
Yeah, obviously. Not to the same level, but, you know, Art Briles isn't coming back on TV.
Oh,
so no, you know. I wonder if it's just it's too hot right now for somebody to bring him on. A year from now, maybe.
See, I hate to be put in a position. I'm not blaming you.
No,
I hate to be put in a position where I have to like weigh sins.
Yeah.
In my opinion, Art Briles is much worse.
Oh, absolutely. It's, I'm not by any means.
I'm not even taking into account the fact that this is a Baptist university which has a history of players killing them each other.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, they've got some crazy stories at Baylor.
It's Rick made some mistakes.
Yeah.
Rick made what was ironically the cardinal sin of paying players. But the thing of it is that I think Rick was sort of backed in the corner. I think Rick will be well received by most true college basketball fans.
I think so.
At this point. Now, he ain't come back to Rupp anytime soon, but I think that you cannot argue with his mind. And to me, he and Nolan Richardson together, and there's schools of thought, which I'm not getting into on this podcast, believe it or not, but the two of them revolutionized college basketball.
I agree completely.
They made it a fun and gun style.
Yeah, enjoyable to watch.
Those were some of the best college basketball games with true athletes in the late 90s when it was the Hogs and the Cats and they went at it. It was
completely
insane.
Completely agree.
And it's his mind. You can't. I think he would be excellent. And honestly, I will listen because, number one, I'm interested in what he says, but number two, to some degree.
Yeah.
And number two, I kind of hope it does go off the rails.
I think it will at some point. It has to go off the rails at some point.
I mean, it's Rick.
Yeah, he's going to at some point say something that's just crazy.
I just want to know, does anybody out there in listener land think John has any opinion at all on Rick Pitino?
I think he loves him secretly. Yeah.
I've heard of him.
We have a box of his pasta upstairs.
I think he wants to have his love child, John.
Lord, it wouldn't take long.
15 seconds.
Down his leg.
Okay, well, anyway, actually, I think that I would listen to it.
I'm reading from trial transcripts, people. This is all entered in the record.
I think I would actually listen to it just to cut the first couple of episodes just to hear the crazy.
No, it was like the Cal
right.
podcast that lived for about 6 months.
Right.
I listened to it just to see what it was like. Yeah. It wasn't great entertainment. You know, and when you heard him and Coach K basically stroking each other, was just kind of nauseating.
We've taken a dark turn. Yeah.
But anyway,
I'd like to get back to the drinking.
Is this
now?
My box from the dark net?
Yeah.
I
feel like I just opened that box. Me and Chad just opened that box, and we're not happy.
Yeah, this definitely is our. There you go, Chad. Happy birthday.
Yeah. Right?
Yay.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, America. Hope you like shit. Yeah. All
right. Well, technically, your birthday is on Wednesday as of this recording, and mine is tomorrow. So there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So let's get into the bourbons that we had. So we started out with the chicken cock. So, Rob, what did you think of that?
I got to say, I didn't really like the nose. It had a little cinnamon, which at first wasn't bad. But in the end, it just wasn't that good.
I'll have to agree with that. I mean, maybe if I mix it with a Pepsi product or a Coke product, it might be fairly tasty. On its own, it was meh.
Yeah, totally a meh. I went back to it after we finished, and I had to pour it out. It was a good place to start because it would have been sadly or woefully disappointing had we finished with it. But if you mix it with something that is kind of a little spicy, it might help, like a Dr. Pepper or something, if you're into that.
I could see that.
Yeah, I could see that too, yeah.
I think Pepsi might be better than Coke because of the sweetness.
Yeah.
At first glance, when you smell their stuff, I wasn't really interested. I've had better cock. The last cock you brought us was better than this.
That's true.
Yeah. It's honestly, for like a 90 proof, I could not get over the nose. Like, that is...
Yeah, it was harsh.
That hit me too. Yeah.
In a not pleasant or healthy way.
But it's like miles better than the ISR on that.
Yes, it was still drinkable.
Oh,
it was still drinkable.
Still undefeated in
ranking
champion.
I thought it was a little hot. It was hot cock, right? It was a little hot.
Some hot cock. Go ahead and get some of that hot cock tonight.
It was hot, but...
I apologize.
Shot
we already have the explicit.
We have the explicit rating. It's fine. No, I thought it was a little hot, and it was actually sweet. I'm not sure about mixing it with Coke or Pepsi, because it's already sweet enough on its own.
Yeah, it was definitely sweet.
Maybe a ginger beer or ginger ale or something to kind of cut it.
Make
a
Kentucky mule with it.
Yeah, it might be good for that.
Yeah, I think you could do that. Right.
So what did you think of the Woodford?
I thought the Woodford was pretty good. I've had it before. I thought it had a decent caramel, a decent nose. Definitely would recommend it as something to buy or give away. It's smooth.
I would have to agree with it. We've had the Double Oak before. This is not a bad store pick, I think. And I'm glad to be taking it home because I'll enjoy it for the rest of the fall. But it was pretty tasty.
Yeah, of all the Woodford things I've had, the Double Oak is by far and away, I think, the best product that they offer for me personally. This was really good. I mean, I agree with Rob. I got a lot of caramel in it. very sweet. You can definitely tell that it's been in back in a barrel. It's got, right. you know, yeah. it's good.
To Chad's point, I think it also is probably the best product they make.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I didn't know about this double barrel or double oak thing the first time we tried it. I like that. This, I think, is a good version of it. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see, to me, when it opens up, because I think it'll be very nice in the winter, like for me personally at least.
Yeah.
But I think it's good.
Yeah, it kind of had that winter spice on it.
It did.
I think so. And it was good. I actually think I like the Knob Creek a little bit better than that, but I'll get to that in a second. The color on it, though, in the bottle is amazing.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, yeah. It's got good color.
The color is amazing.
I think that's from the barrel finish, right? From going back
yeah.
in.
Yeah, yeah, coming back in.
So what did you think of the mislabeled or labeled Knob Creek or single barrel?
Knob Creek, for me, it was a little hot. It's a decent pour. I mean, I'm still trying to finish it off. It's okay.
All right. There you go.
The Knob Creek was... I used to be a Knob Creek fan. I still buy it. And this one's a pretty good one. Like we've discovered in our odyssey here, the store picks are the better one. Now, when I bought this, the fellows at the Kroger Liquor said the bottle they rejected was much, much hotter. So I'm like, wow. So it had a nice flavor. I'm leaning more toward the Woodford, and which is a big step for me because I'm not a Woodford fan, but that double oak Woodford is very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me personally, I like the Knob Creek the best, which is... I'm like everybody here. I'm not generally a Woodford guy. I mean, it's generally not my go-to. No disrespect to him at all. It just doesn't,
yeah.
you know. I like Lee jeans. Most people like Levi's, right? It's that kind of thing, right?
Wranglers.
His name was Lee. Wranglers. He wore Lee jeans. Yeah. Do you all remember that movie?
I think so, yeah.
Swingers, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I really like the Knob Creek quite a bit. So I'd rank them Knob Creek, then the Woodford, and then the Chicken Cock, Hot Cock.
Yes. John, did you have any of the Knob Creek yet?
I did, but I think that's the best, the Knob Creek.
Yep.
To me, I think that's the best.
Yep.
It, I think it's very well balanced. I think it hits a lot of notes. I don't think it's overly harsh. And we just, regardless the misdirection or whatever, I don't know. But it, to me, I thought that was the best. I didn't dislike any of the others. Knob Creek was the best by far.
Well, no, I agree with that. And I would probably go Knob Creek, Woodford, and then the chicken. I do think the Woodford, I could see drinking that in the wintertime for sure.
So we can say that buy the other two, stay away from the chicken cock.
Yeah, unless you're going to mix.
Yeah. Right, yeah, yeah, it could be a good mixer.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so any other last words, comments, remarks?
I'm good.
From the peanut quiet. Gallery over here?
Good.
Chad?
I mean, bacon showed up today.
Birthday week, baby.
That's right.
That's right.
I'm scared of next weekend. I'm really scared.
Celebrating 43 years of awesome, yo.
Mm-hmm.
You are?
Yeah.
Nice. I'm celebrating more than that. Let's just leave it.
I think all but of us less than me.
Yeah.
Word?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm sure we'll celebrate with some bourbon.
Hey, but I did, speaking of, for all of you that follow us, that maybe we'll share it on the Twitter feed, there's going to be a new chug tomorrow.
Ooh.
Or maybe I'll save it till birthday night.
Ooh, save it till birthday.
Save your birthday night.
Yeah. All right, nice. I like it. Nice. I like it. All right, I'm going to hit the music.
Oh, before we go, I need to give a shout out to Jen Cottle. I hope this is more acceptable to you.
Stop eating the microphone, bro. Potato chip.
John has done a really good job with everybody's wives today, so we appreciate that.
So there you go. All right.
I'm not sure what that means.
I don't know either.
And I was at work most of the day, but I'll assume that's good.
And one more shout out to Brian O'Keefe, a friend of mine from Louisville.
Yes. Listener.
Listener.
He listens.
He's a
appreciate
listen.
It.
Brian, we appreciate Brian belongs to a Scotch club, and they do a lot of...
Lord.
Yay, yeah, Scotch.
I'm like, so we appreciate Brian's support. And actually, he likes the show, and he's a real radio professional. So I'm glad that he listens to us.
Okay.
So
since we're doing shout outs, I'd like to give a shout out to my Dungeons and Dragons club, Sean.
There you go.
No. I'll take it.
Anybody else? Shout outs? Anyone? No? No? Is that it? That's all the shout outs?
I'm just going to leave on that note.
Rob's got nothing. Rob has absolutely nothing. John?
I'd like to take have a shout out to the closing of the show.
Hey, I tried.
That was my fault.
Oh,
sorry.
And gentlemen, thank you. We were interference free
today.
So
airplane mode, baby.
Congratulations. Damn. All right.
And people talked into the microphone.
Yes, they did.
Get up on the mic.
And now,
don't
need
it, though.
It's too high.
Oh. What is going on
Well,
here?
I'm having issues with the music. Hold on. That's no, thank
I'll
you.
Just beatbox.
All right, there we go. There it is. I got it. Thank you. As always, you can catch us on Twitter at PodcastBABO, I guess, if you want to. We're on Podbean. We're on Spotify. We're on SoundCloud. We're on 12-Ounce Sports Radio, which go hook yourself up with some tea times while the weather's still good at 12OunceSportsRadio.com. And go buy sporting event tickets at 12OunceSportsRadio.com.
Enjoy the sports.
Enjoy the sports. Enjoy the
sports
golf.
Ball, yay.
Enjoy
football
the barbecue
next week.
And
get
we will see you next time. See you.
Later.
Out.
Au revoir.